entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 213.
And it's Tuesday, December 12th, 2017.
Thank you for being with us today. It's going to be a fun episode because we're finishing up Jeff's story, his trip to South America.
We're finishing
Central America.
The second half
and he's
of Jeffy's ventures.
Going to tell us a little more about the criteria of becoming a Google guide, and I'm hoping he tells us his story, his journey to becoming a Google guide, and what his greatest accomplishment has been. And then, so those are finishing up things. As far as new things, we've got a new segment, and it's called Levels of Love.
Ooh.
And that's just a tease. Layton's got a story.
Well, we can all tell that I'm not involved in this new segment.
And then...
Jeff's at level negative one in the levels of love.
And then we've also, Layton also has something else he wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I've got something with me that we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But of course, before we do all that, we've got feedback to get to. And we've got quite a bit of feedback. Josh Beachy said, I recall a few episodes ago, Jeffy's blog was mentioned. I was wondering what the name of the blog was. It is TheLightOnMyPath.com.
Yes. And I have not posted in a while.
Oh, my goodness,
but
Jeff.
I am working on another post.
Ooh, slowly. What is it about?
It's about working for a reward in the kingdom.
I see. The heavenly kingdom.
That's kind
kingdom.
Of a test, yeah.
Okay.
Laying up for yourself treasure.
Yeah, laying up treasure.
Okay, good.
That kind of thing.
Do you want any input from us?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Well, are we going to give it now?
Well, I don't know if he has a question.
Well, I don't really have a question. I'm just trying
to He already figured it out, Ruben.
All right.
Yeah, I have it all figured out.
He also asked, is there a way to access some of the older French Press Podcast episodes that aren't on iTunes? Here's the thing. The oldest episode is around episode 70 that we currently have available online. And it's not that the ones older than that we're embarrassed about, but...
They're almost irrelevant.
Sometimes, you know how
when
a family moves from one house to a new house, sometimes things just get lost.
Some photo albums.
Yeah, maybe a book or a photo album.
Yeah. Well, and they might think like, oh, it would be so nice to have that book. But when they actually lose it and they can't remember it, then it's like, they don't know what they're...
You don't miss it.
Yeah, you don't miss something that you don't think about.
Well,
someone's thinking
about
69 episodes.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about it and your pain will subside, I promise.
And what I was getting at, the French Press Podcast has jumped home a few times. It started out being a Joomla website, and now it's a WordPress website, but it's jumped around even a few other times in between there, different versions of WordPress, different hosts, and different audio hosts.
Even more importantly, more importantly than just like the technical stuff, it's also moved different homes as far as content.
Many different homes.
It used to be a podcast about Arrow, and I'm so glad it's not anymore. That was terrible.
And speaking of what it used to be,
what
we were discussing before the show. These cards here on the table that have been here for probably years that used to be a segment. And
cards of segment past.
Cards of segment past.
Batman.
What was this thing called, though? It was like the survival
game.
Is
it survival game?
Yeah. Anyhow, but those are still here.
They are. They still sit.
Unfortunately, where we actually record hasn't changed in a while. And so there's a lot of...
You said that unfortunately.
Well,
you don't
because
like it
I do like it.
Oh.
Paul and Trish, don't take offense. I'm just saying because we haven't moved ever, there's a lot of old stuff here from segments past, like you said.
Yeah.
Promise if the Lord tarries at some point in time, I will go back and find old episodes.
Do we have them somewhere?
Well, I say find. I'll look for them.
We think they might be somewhere.
We had some other feedback too. So thank you, Josh, for inquiring about that. All right, and we've got some other feedback here too from Mitch. He says, Ruben, loved last week's podcast. Just wondering what the random squeaky horn is all about the last couple of weeks. That was an accident. Not the first time. The first time you heard it, it was to cover up a, not a swear word, but just a...
vulgar language.
Yeah. Adult. Barely even adult. But anyway, it was to clean up some language.
It was about like adolescent teen language.
Yeah.
Adolescent teen language.
Well, it's not child or adult language. It's kind of right like in the middle
in the midst there.
Although usually that's probably the worst kind of language that there is.
That's true.
But that horn, it's such a small clip that I didn't see it when I was adding. I use a template and or an old the previous version of the audio project that I was working on, and so I just delete the podcast part and just bring in the new one from today's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And because that horn was such a small clip on a track further down, I didn't see it. It was invisible.
Oh, invisible.
So I finally zoomed in, scanned over the track, and I found it. And it won't be on this episode. That was Jeff. Wow, that was pretty good. But yeah, thanks for making us aware of that. And then we've got... we actually have some feedback, Jeff, that'll help you out.
We actually have something for Jeff.
Someone is helping out with the single thoughts. Anyway, Fonda Miller sent us an image to help out with the single thoughts segment. And in the spirit of Christmas, this is what the picture says. It's text on a picture. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nothing because I am single. I'm just reading it. So thank you, Fonda. And if anyone else has comes across something,
mm-hmm.
let us know.
Yeah. Hey, and better yet,
I still think single thoughts is the thing I'm most proud of
creating
that I've contributed
to this podcast.
Yeah.
Mm. But guys, if you have a single thought, regardless if you're single or not, record your own voice and we'll play it with that awesome music.
Oh yeah,
that is true.
Right. Really
that
sad
is true.
Music,
and you can
sound really
and you
good.
Can remain anonymous
if you so choose. Just let us know for any feedback. You do need to let us know if you want to be anonymous.
Otherwise, we'll assume
and
that you want to be known.
All you need to do is just record it on your phone, whatever app you want to use, and email it mail@frenchpresspodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
And someone volunteered. Last week we asked about we want to make a stamp for the French press.
Yeah.
We got some feedback. Ben Latin said he would take care of it for us.
Oh.
We need to get a PDF around for that. But thank you, Ben. And we're really excited about it.
Oh, and we're going to have
our own. We're going to be stamping so many things.
What?
Letters.
We'll
just send letters.
Fan mail. It's where we send it to the fans. I got some fan mail for the French Press Podcast. It's our monthly newsletter.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for the feedback. And now to get into the meat of today's episode.
The meat of the episode.
Yum, 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 yum.
Layton, if your story is short, we'll start with yours, and then we'll get Jeff's towards the center of the episode.
So you're looking for the
I'm
bread.
Looking for you to tell me how long your story is going to be.
We're looking for some hors d'oeuvres.
5 to 7 minutes.
Okay.
That's
so
a guesstimation.
Whenever you guesstimate a story, you want to take it at about 2.5 times.
Yeah.
So we're looking, you say 5 to 7, we're looking at about 12 to 20 minutes.
Okay. Fair enough.
But Jeff's will probably take longer than that. So go ahead.
Wait, Ruben, we forgot to go on our rant.
You're right.
We had, for the second week in a row, is it the second week in a row? Yes. A terrible experience at McDonald's.
Wait, this is the first one I remember.
Your first mistake was going to McDonald's for a second week in a row.
Well, okay, mine happened, was it last week, right? Yeah. That I went off of my rant about the McDonald's app.
Oh, it was before that.
Was it 2 weeks
ago? Yes.
Anyways. However long ago it was.
I think anyway.
We went back to that same McDonald's. Ruben and I both today. And we, again, had a terrible experience.
You know what, Jeff? Maybe it was last week. I kind of forget.
Maybe we should let the fans tell us with their fan mail.
Yeah, tell us. Tell us, fans.
Who's right?
You know our podcast.
We need a PO box.
For actual mail?
Yeah. I think people would want to send us actual real mail.
Money.
They do? How much?
I think so. I don't know.
Could we spend some of Ruben's
Amazon earnings?
Yeah.
And I do have an update on that. I guess we'll just share right now.
In the midst of a McDonald's rant.
I know, but okay. It's relevant.
Yeah, totally.
So far this year, we have, thanks to your Amazon link smashing.
Yes.
Smashing.
We have earned almost $500.
Good land.
That's more than I ever expected to make from this podcast.
Oh, all the haters, all the people that made fun of me. Oh, in your face. Oh.
And the last few months have been great, except for one. But this November, we again made, it was $85. And that was same as
August.
Yeah, September was down, but then August was also about 85.
So now this begs the question, why am I still sitting in a folding chair?
We're all sitting in folding chairs.
Had made the executive decision to invest in Bitcoin. I'm joking.
Because that would have been a good decision.
That would have been a good decision, yeah. And it might still be.
A while ago.
Anyway, but yeah, we Jeff, the chairs are probably still a bit out of the budget.
I feel like we need
to keep smashing that link, guys. I want one of those like executive chairs that costs $800.
We need to change the table.
Shiatsu.
The table first.
Yeah, the table is in pretty bad shape. I mean, it looks as though it might break next week from the looks of it.
Well, it's already broken at certain spots. On the corners where we clamp the mics, the clamp stands, it's like broken through the plastic.
I forget who I interrupted. Was it Layton or Jeff?
It was the McDonald's story. This is how terrible it is.
Oh, no, PO box.
I thought Layton had interrupted you, then I interrupted him.
Yeah. Right. So let's first go back to me before we go back to Jeff. You have to pay for a PO box?
I'm pretty sure you do.
It can't be that expensive.
Yeah, it might not be much, but...
You could just give out your address.
No, I'm just... Somehow, like, I'm just afraid of what might happen.
What do you mean?
I mean, I know that most of the listeners know where I live anyway, but what if there's like some psychopath that listens to this podcast that we don't know about, and like he's just like waiting to like steal one of our identities and like use all of our money to like blow it on Bitcoin and frivolous things.
Why don't you next week look what it takes to get a PO box?
Okay. Oh. Everybody knows that we work at PWI. We just send your fan mail to PWI.
I'm afraid we would never see it though.
Oh, we would.
We would.
I know the shipping guy really well. In fact, Ruben, you go to church with him. Well, not anymore since you moved up to Elkhart or started attending the Elkhart Church up there. But Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff. Go ahead. McDonald's.
Well, this is you too, Ruben.
Well, this week it is.
Yeah,
today it is.
So we went back to this McDonald's, which took forever with the app, and found out why it took forever with the app, basically.
Why?
Because we took some kids from Homework Club up to McDonald's for some food. Ruben was hungry. I was kind of like, meh, but then I decided I would eat some anyways. So we get in there, and we waited. How long was it we waited, Ruben, in the lobby to get our food?
We waited at least 3 minutes before anyone even came up to the register to take our order.
Oh, my.
And it's not like it was even busy. There was one other person standing there who had already ordered, and no one else was in line.
And the person—
No, I take that back. There was two people in line when we got there.
But the person that was behind the counter or whatever was, I mean, just kind of doing her own thing.
Putzing.
Yeah. And so— Yeah, I ordered my food, or Ruben ordered his food, and then I ordered my food.
And Layton, hold on.
Okay.
Jeff, I didn't hear this, but you said later, you know how sometimes they'll have you pull, you pay at the one window, then you pull forward to the next window, and then they'll say, oh, your food's not quite ready yet, can you pull up?
Pull forward.
Pull forward,
and then we'll bring your stuff out. Well, Jeff overheard them do this for coffee.
Yeah.
Not for a meal, for coffee.
Oh, my.
If you can't keep a pot of coffee on,
it takes a while to brew.
They probably have three coffee makers.
It should be brewed.
But at least he was getting fresh coffee.
I don't care. It should still be brewed.
In that cylinder sphere.
The coffee takes, like, 2 minutes to brew. And I guarantee you by the time the next person in line got their food, the coffee was, like, done already.
Probably. But at least he was getting fresh coffee.
He was getting
fresh coffee. No, I agree. It is ridiculous that he had to pull forward.
Don't try to defend their idiocracy.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to be the devil's advocate when the devil is McDonald's.
So, and we waited. How long did you wait for your food, Ruben? It was pretty long.
At least probably 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, at least. And then we decided that we weren't going to eat there. We were just going to take it to go just because we were
running it was taking so long.
Yeah, running short on time. So Ruben leaves and goes out in the car. And I'm sitting there. And then the lady behind the register came up to me or like waved me over. And so I go over there and she said, I was just informed that we don't sell chicken strips anymore. I had ordered the new chicken strips. And we don't have...
They wanted to sell you old chicken strips?
No, they didn't want to sell me any because they didn't have any.
I know. I was,
and it's like not like... She didn't even say we were out. She just said, we don't sell them. And I was like, you have a poster right here on the wall advertising them. That's what prompted me to order them.
Oh, your great marketing made me want to order these new chicken
tenders
or whatever.
And so, and then she was like, well, what do you want to substitute it for? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Do you have regular chicken strips? No. Like the old, the
chicken nuggets. Then
the chicken fingers was the other one.
Oh, okay.
And then I said, well, just do chicken nuggets. And she's like, you want a 10-piece?
Hold on. Am I the only person who didn't know they have three different kinds of chicken strips or nuggets?
Well, it's a new kind. And they still have, I believe they still have the chicken strips and the chicken nuggets. And this is the chicken fingers.
It's the
buttermilk chicken
fingers. It's the enhanced pink slime.
Unless, I could be wrong in that.
Extra pink.
It could just be a different a new recipe for chicken strips or whatever.
Ay.
So anyways.
No, I didn't know that either, Ruben.
So, and then I had asked for a signature sauce with mine.
Signature sauce.
They have like their, you know, it's a signature.
Big Mac sauce.
It's Thousand Island.
It's similar to campfire sauce,
I think. That's Frisco sauce. Like,
and what did I get in my bag? Thousand Island. Lo and behold, so they substituted a 10-piece chicken nugget for this. And then the kid that we had brought along that I had paid for also got chicken nuggets. So we had two 10-piece chicken nuggets with barbecue sauce and signature sauce. Okay? And when I opened the bag, there's not two. There's three chicken nuggets, and we had already left at this point.
You mean three orders?
Three 10-piece chicken nuggets.
Okay, great.
And no signature sauce.
Oh.
Well, at least they got that wrong.
Yeah.
Well, at least they got that wrong.
And then like, yeah, it was just...
For par.
And I waited a good 3 to 4 minutes past Ruben. I ordered right after him. I waited a good 3 to 4 minutes he had left.
Yeah.
The building.
Do you know how hard it is to chuck chicken nuggets from like 10 feet away into those boxes? And then if one lands on the floor, you have to go over, pick it up, and then go back to that 10-foot line and keep chucking. It's difficult. You don't know how difficult it is. They tried it with the chicken fingers and they couldn't do it with any of them. They couldn't get any of them to land. Right. And that's why they ran out.
That's why they ran out. The oblong shake didn't let it fall properly.
They only had chicken nugget throwers. They didn't have any chicken finger throwers back there.
So anyways, long story short, the McDonald's on Napanee Street in Elkhart.
Actually, this story took about as long as what the actual incident was.
Yeah, probably.
I'm just looking at how... This is going to be a long episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's good. Long episodes are good.
I don't know why, but people do seem to enjoy it. Okay.
Are we going to get to
short 20-minute story?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so this is a really short explanation, actually. Recently, within Terra...
Is that your neighbor, or...?
That is the bank. That's who we bank with. Me and my wife bank within Terra. And we decided that we're going to We're trying to modernize Dave Ramsey's envelope system. We actually haven't gone through the Financial Peace University program, but I would like to eventually. But from what I understand is he has an envelope. He recommends using an envelope system, and you label each of these envelopes the different funds, different expenses that you have. And then every week you divvy out your cash into those envelopes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like to – the thought of just having a bunch of cash laying around, it just annoys me.
I hate cash.
Especially just at home. I don't know. It seems unnecessary and slightly irresponsible. Unless you have like a safe, and but then you have to remember the combination, and my LastPass can't remember combinations like that, you know. Anyways, unless there's like a safe that has finger ID, that would be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
I'm sure there is, but they're probably really expensive. I could start an envelope fund for that. A safe with a fingerprint. Anyways, so we started doing that. We decided that rather than using a physical envelope, we'll just open a bunch of sub-checking accounts within Terra, and then have debit cards labeled for each of those funds, and we will divvy out from our main checking account into the different sub-checking accounts.
And this, do you know someone who has done this before?
I actually don't.
I do something similar, but not. Not near as on the level Layton does.
It's psycho and retarded.
How many sub accounts do you have?
At least 8.
Wow.
And we have debit cards for each one of those. I have two.
I have 5. This is where Coin would come in great, if Coin would work.
I agree.
Yes.
Coin
got discontinued. What about,
does Apple Pay work with these different debit cards?
Yes.
So is that what you use if possible?
I didn't even think about that. No, normally I just have the Apple Card, or my Apple Pay I usually use for food, and so I only have my eating out debit card registered with Apple Pay. But you're right, I could totally select which one I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant, Ruben. I should register all those. Anyways, but we could not have picked a worse time to start this whole process, because we decided, okay, yeah, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have an e-envelope system. And then right when we do that, oh my word, I have to blow my nose.
You need to blow your nose or just sneeze?
I had to sneeze and blow my nose because it's like a tickle.
I wish you guys could have seen his face. It looked like he was experiencing something like exciting and fun. Like just like But I guess it was just a lot of air. So Jeff, you said you'd do something similar to this?
Yeah, I just have basically, since I write checks on occasion, but not that often, and I generally keep most of my money in my savings account, not in my checking account. And so I have a separate checking account just for checks. And whenever I fill out a check, I immediately deposit that amount of money into my checking account that's specifically for checks. That way that money is always accounted for. Because sometimes the checks that I write are fairly large, and that way I just don't ever run out of money in my main checking account.
And you keep it in savings just because you get better interest on it?
Or actually, you get better interest in the checking account within Terra.
So, no, but I also keep money in a separate savings account as well. So, like a non-Terra savings account.
Anyways, okay, so we could not have picked a worse time to start to do the whole process, because as soon as we issued all of these debit cards, probably at least 8 of them, of these new debit cards with these new subjects.
And 2 of each, right? Because you and Kara each have one?
But not of each, like...
Oh, okay, so some of them you just needed one.
Right, we have like one with our monthly bills. Our monthly bills, okay. We don't need 2 debit cards for. Okay. Mm. But for vehicles, yes. For eating out, yes.
Can you get 2 identical cards? For groceries,
no, because she's the only one that...
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Like you have 2 identical cards with the same number?
No,
okay,
can't get that.
But they're for the same account, but with different numbers.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
They have different names on them. One is named hers, one is named mine.
That's cool.
Under my name. Anyways, so as soon as we did this, Intera decided to update all of their debit cards with chips.
Which is the worst.
And they're going to handle them through mail. They're going to mail all the debit cards, all the new debit cards. And when you receive a new debit card from Intera, it does not say what checking account this will be linked to. It only tells you what number of card is replacing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the and a debit card number has absolutely no correlation to what checking account it is linked to.
Yes. but when you got them, couldn't you see, oh, okay, this is for my eating out card. I'll just rip up my eating out card and put a...
That's a new sticker. We have a label for each one of them, for each of the debit cards.
You guys are really organized.
Yeah, you're right. We are.
And I don't think it's you.
It was actually my idea.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I got it from Eric Troyer, who used to be a host on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently he's not that smart around. Shots fired. Anyways, so we replace all those with new chips, and then on top of that, Intera also then called us a week or two later and says, like, hey, we have some customers that are complaining that these new chipped cards aren't working, so we're going to send you a replacement for a few of them. Well, which ones? I don't know, but you'll get them in the mail. Anyway.
And again, you knew what card... did they say this is replacing this old card number?
Yes. I think. I don't know. For some reason, I don't remember. I don't think it actually did say. Feel like it, during like the big overhaul, like the first initial upgrade or update, it did say what cards they were replacing. But
not for the
individual
batch.
Ones... I don't think so. I don't know. But we got one of these new replacement ones just before it was time to leave for Carmen's, your girlfriend's pinning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it was replacing our travel card. We have a fund for travel. And we update it, and it works great. Like, it was fine. It worked. We went on the trip. And we're using out of our travel fund,
mm-hmm.
debit card, whatever. And then when we got back, I didn't have my vehicle's debit card with me, but I needed to go to AutoZone to buy mats for my car because I don't because with snow and everything, I want to keep the interior nice. So I go to AutoZone. I whip open my wallet. And I was like, oh, I don't have my vehicle's debit card with me. I guess I'll just use the travel one. Swipe the travel one. Goes through and it's fine. It's great. Whatever. Today, I go into the app, into my online banking app, and I'm trying to find the transaction as to like to make sure that it came out of my travel fund. It did not come out of my travel fund. But get this. This is so weird. It turns out that the card that we got was actually not replacing our travel one. It was replacing our eating out fund. That's what it was linked to.
So now you guys have no food to go or no money to go out to eat.
Well, you just
I know.
Take money.
I know.
You just transfer the money from the travel checking account into the eating out fund. Anyways, that's not the point. That's not the crazy thing. I had this over the entire weekend. I was just using the debit card that I thought was for travel, mm-hmm. and it was taking out of my eating out fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I have up until just today, I had no idea how much was in our eating out fund at all. I go on today, and there is zero money in the eating out fund, and I'm like, oh no, and like. That was where my AutoZone transaction, like, that's what it came out of.
Yeah.
At the end of the trip, Ruben, at the end of the trip, like, to go down to Carmen's pinning.
Yes.
We had exactly $42.79 left in my eating out fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea. And I just happened to, whatever, I swiped the card for what I thought was for travel, but it was actually for eating out. I go to AutoZone, I buy the mats that I bought were $39.99 with tax. It equaled up to $42.97. The exact
amount.
Money that just happened to be left in my eating out fund. Like,
that is insane.
Isn't that? I have the receipt.
I want to see it.
I have the receipt.
That is weird, man.
And I can go onto my online banking app. When I figured this out, like, I was actually almost like creeped out. Like, I was like, what is going on? I thought that there was some kind of, like, I thought that maybe Intero would do this thing where, like, oh, if you overcharge on one of your accounts, it'll just take out of another subchecking account. I checked. It's the exact amount of money.
Wow, that is crazy.
So weird. And especially after a random trip.
I know.
Where we were just swiping, buying gas, and, like, I didn't check my accounts at all over the weekend.
And when you're out like that, you know, you might get a pack of gum, or you might get a soda, and just
one, and I bought a pack one, of peanuts.
Like, just one different decision, one different kind of peanuts would have you would have had a different story.
Every cent counts.
It did. Every little bit mattered.
Isn't that so crazy?
It is crazy.
Anyways, yeah, I just thought that I needed
that is insane
to share that. Oh,
wow!
And I really need to make a new label for what I thought was the travel debit card. I need to label that eating out.
You should have Theodore take them and laser them.
Like, yeah, I'm sure they would work.
No. But
if you would laser just the parts
the one
of
side.
It, parts of it is just plastic.
Yeah, the one side that's just plastic, you could have him etch it.
I have enough issues with the chip reader.
then when it's labeled wrong,
it doesn't
it's like
work the way
permanently
it is.
Labeled wrong.
It's permanently labeled wrong. Oh, that would be so nice.
All right, Jeff, let's move on then. And let's wrap up your story with your trip down to Central America.
My eventful story.
But tell us to start with how and why you became a local Google guide and what you feel your greatest contribution has been.
Mm-hmm. So Google launched this thing called Local Guides, I don't know, 5 years ago maybe. I have no idea. Anyways, and I came across this thing, and they had, right off the bat, they had some really good deals. So if you contributed, every time you contribute something, either a review, a photo, or just a rating for any place, or answering a question about a place, every time you do that, then they would give you like a certain amount of points for that.
What can you do with these points?
And these points would get you like to certain levels. Once you'd gotten 100 points, you would be at level 1. You know, you started out level 0, you'd move to level 1 after so many points. And with each tier came different incentives. And right off the bat, they were offering a terabyte of cloud storage when you reach level 3, which was like 1,000 points.
Okay.
Pretty decent amount. So that's kind of an incentive. That's kind of why I was like, hey, some free Google Drive storage that I can get. And so I joined with that intent.
And is that for life? Or as long as you're submitting?
No, it was actually for 1 year, which I did get it then.
Okay, good.
So that was nice, but anyways.
But now it's all gone.
Now it's gone, but now I pay, I think it's like $3 a month or something. It's
cheap.
If
you wouldn't have paid for that, would they have just deleted everything?
No, they don't delete everything, but they like give you a notice that you can't
add.
You can access it, but you can't add anything, including photo backups, to your Google Drive account until that
you
issue
start
gets
paying.
Resolved. Yeah.
All right.
Which I had never reached that amount, anyways. So, yeah. So over the years, they've kind of restructured their whole system, and now they are. Now they have just a totally different system. Where the whole points thing is still a thing, but you also get, you can level up in certain categories like photography, maps editing, adding new places.
Is that the sound it makes when you level up?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's the sound it makes when I hit this little handle on the other mic.
That's why we need a new table.
Is why we need a new table. Anyways, so that's all said and done. And I have, now I am like a level 6, I think. And to reach, I'm at 2,000 points, and to reach level 7, I need to get 5,000 points. So there's a ways to go yet.
Where do you look, Jeff? what level you are. Because you're right.
You have to go in the Google Maps app and then go to your contributions. Ruben is also a local guide. A fact which Ruben, he chose to admit while you guys were making fun of me last week.
Oh my goodness, I'm level 3.
You could get a free terabyte of storage.
Wow.
Well, not
your
anymore.
Incentives are much different now.
But I only have 183 points.
Yeah, it gets incrementally harder.
Incrementally harder.
So I am at, right now, I'm at...
level 1,000.
You know what annoys me? Every once in a while, Google Maps app will pop up and ask me if I've recently been to this place and if I want to leave a review.
Yeah.
Does that annoy you?
Yeah, it annoys me.
Why?
I'll leave a review if I want to.
Whenever I'm at a restaurant.
Don't bug me. And the one time I wasn't even at the place they thought I was at.
Thinks that you're at a place.
I was at the Golden Egg in Elkhart, and they thought I was at Dunkin' Donuts. Which, they're close.
Scrambled really eggs close. Were great. Loved it. The waitress was a little bit, eh.
Usually when you're at
they
a place,
didn't even have donuts.
It'll ask for photos of that place. Do you have donuts?
Had to settle for a muffin instead.
So, Ruben, you were asking about accomplishments.
Yeah.
And right now I'm labeled as an expert photographer.
Oh,
and to get to the next level, which is a master photographer, I think I have to add 1,000 photos. I've only added 109. And
I would start
then I
taking
have to
photos
add
galore.
Photos of 100 places.
Different places.
Yeah, and I only have 49 of photos of different places.
How do you have 109 photos, but only 49?
Of different places.
Of different places.
About two of each place.
Oh,
average.
Jeff, you need
but to But here's the kicker. In order to get to the next level of photography, you have to have over 1 million combined views on all of your photos.
Which you would... You'll have that.
I do.
You already do.
I actually... On 109 photos, I have 2.1 million views.
Wow.
Thanks to my one photo, which is now at 970,000 views for one photo.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy. And that just kind of dropped like a rock. It was steadily climbing until they replaced the main photo of that restaurant with a different photo.
Was it as nice as your photo? Or was it just some idiot taking a selfie?
No, it was actually from a verified website, I think so.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff.
But it's all right. It's right there at 1 million. I mean, basically. So,
Jeff, you're pretty much a viral photographer.
Pretty much.
I feel like if you'd have a bio, if you'd have a website about photography,
mm-hmm.
that should be in your bio somewhere. That one of your photos has 1 million views, or I wouldn't. Even, I would mm-hmm. say I would say it this way: you have a photo that's been viewed 1 million times.
When it
does reach 1 million.
Yeah.
I wouldn't exaggerate.
Until then, you have a photo that's been viewed 958,000 times. And
anyways, so that's my whole Google Guides experience.
So
I occasionally review new places and add photos and stuff. But
how do people become enrolled in the program? Or if they leave a review of a place on Google Maps or Google, are they automatically part of the program?
You're not automatically enrolled. In order to become a guide, you need to enroll in it. And I think there's a link in the
Google Maps app.
In the Google Maps app. But another advantage, some of the advantages of being a guide are like, okay, so somebody, if Layton, who is not a guide, would go find this place on Google Maps and go there and find out that it's permanently closed, it no longer exists, then he would report that on Google Maps. It would take a little while for that to get reviewed by other people. But if I would post that, the edit goes live within an hour.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
They trust me as a contributor to Google Maps.
I wonder how, this would be interesting to know, how quickly that trust in you is revoked. Like if you would go through Napanee and say, oh, Martin's is closed, Lake City Bank, it's closed.
It was robbed.
Permanently.
Blew up.
So I think what they do at this point is if I would report it, they take it down right away. But then, I mean, they will verify. You know, I often come to a certain location. It'll ask me about this neighboring place. Is it permanently closed or not? So then you can contest.
So they would contact some other local verified or
a local guide,
powerful Google guide,
right.
A master guide,
and they're really guide. Google Maps is improving exponentially in that way, in that they're allowing users to add new places and report details on places like that, like store hours and stuff like that, so that it's constantly it's constantly up to date without Google having to do so much of their own maintenance.
Mm. I think it would be fun to kind of mess with Google, and like if all of us would band together and claim that there is a haircut out of like an at home, like an at home haircut business, and like just somewhere in Napanee, just pick a random house and all of us would like leave reviews on it and be like, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, you have to knock really hard on the door, but the person gives amazing haircuts.
Yeah.
You do have to push your way through the door, but once you get inside.
You have to push your way. The secret knock is. Oh, that'd be fun.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's my Google Guide story.
All right, let's talk about Belize again.
Yes.
Where did we leave off?
I believe last week we left off halfway through the trip, basically, Saturday night. With the ruckus of many strange dogs. Happenings and motorcycles flying through the streets.
Yes. I think the last thing I remember is someone said, we are champions.
Yeah, we have champions, yeah. Yeah, there's just... Anyways... So that was Saturday night, and there was some weird stuff going on. But that's beside the point. Now we get to Sunday morning. I wake up Sunday morning, do my normal thing, and then go to their church, which is right at the school. And they have the traditional Mennonite service. So they would have a devotional, then Sunday school, then the message. So the devotional was entirely in Spanish.
Well, in Belize,
yes,
but I didn't know Spanish
English.
I so English Belize English. Is primarily English. Like English is the official language of Belize,
okay.
Because they're like a Commonwealth of Great Britain, of England. But they're very Americanized for an English Commonwealth. But they have so many people from the Spanish speaking. They're the only English speaking Central American country. And so they have so many people from other countries that have moved to Belize or, you know, just influenced Belize that some people only speak Spanish. And then everybody in Belize also speaks a language called Creole, which is really weird.
With the Haitian, is that the Haitian
it's
language?
It's not Haitian Creole. Haitian Creole is French Creole, but this is English Creole. And I think it's a mixture of Creole or of English and Swahili or something like that.
So weird.
Yeah, it was supposedly created by Latin American slaves that were brought over from Africa, and they invented their own language so that their owners could not understand what they were saying, basically, is what somebody told me. So, and it has some similarities to English, but it is also not. It's weird.
Isn't it kind of sing-songy?
A little bit.
Or tonal. Isn't it like a
Haitian, like a Jamaican accent. They kind of all speak like that.
Could you do a little demonstration how it sounds?
I don't think so.
I think you could.
I bet you could squeeze one out.
Did you ever watch Cool Runnings?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, the intonation that they use when they speak English is kind of, yeah. And the Belizean people, when they speak English... Like native Belizeans, when they speak English, they speak like that, like the witch off of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
Like that accent.
The end of the earth.
Yeah, that accent is the same accent. So yeah. Anyways.
I see.
So anyways, this entire service was in Spanish. Which most of the people there would have understood, and I actually surprisingly understood quite a bit more of it than I was expecting. And I actually got the gist of the message, which was weird, considering that I haven't even attempted.
Well, you're a Google guide.
I haven't attempted to speak Spanish.
Of course
in,
you knew what he was
like,
saying.
Like 2 years.
Do Google guides need to be bilingual?
It's a requirement.
It helps. It gets you an extra level.
It lets you shut businesses down quickly.
Yeah.
So the rest of the service then, we had Sunday school in English, and the sermon was in English, but they did have a translator for the people that only spoke Spanish. And he sat in the back of the church, and all the Spanish-speaking people sat back there.
So it's kind of like they were yelling back and forth.
Yeah, more or less, with less yelling. But
kind of like an auctioneer.
So, and then we had lunch up at the house, and there were some visitors there, and the French Press podcast came up.
Ooh.
And the people wanted to hear the story of the millionaire and the soap lady. And considering that nobody there had the book, and I didn't remember it, instead listened to that episode of the French Press.
The whole thing?
Well, no, just that segment of it.
Okay.
So that was a highlight.
What? In case someone is wondering, what episode number was that, Jeff?
I don't remember.
How did you even find it?
It was my sister. She has them all downloaded. I think she has every episode available downloaded, so that she can listen to them, because they don't have Wi-Fi at the house. So when she plugs up to the Ethernet, then she has to preemptively download if they want to listen to it.
Very good. She's forward thinking.
So Sunday afternoon, then we went to see some Mayan ruins. That was pretty cool.
You did do take that. Some good pics. Yes.
I did take some good pics, I have not edited yet.
Was that a location on Google Maps? I mean, could you leave some pictures of that?
I could, actually. And actually, while I was standing on top of the ruins, we were 1 kilometer from Guatemala. And my phone service is Google Project Fi. It does not have service in Belize, but it does in Guatemala. So I was standing on top of these ruins, which are probably, I don't know, 200 feet tall, and receiving tons of text messages and email notifications, and it was weird because I could reach cell service from Guatemala, where there is service for my phone. Anyways,
send a snap. Should have.
I did actually. Okay. I tried to send a snap.
Ruben wouldn't have watched it because he doesn't like Snapchat anyway.
That's right, Ruben. You hate her. And then when we were there, there's other people there, not many, but there's other people around, and we went off to one of their ball courts. They used to play this game. The Mayans used to play this game, and I don't know what it was, but it was some kind of a ball game that was held in a concrete, just like a square or rectangular field. It was pretty narrow, maybe, I don't know, 18 feet wide and 40, 50 feet long. Anyway, so we were walked over to the one. There's these people standing there just looking up in the trees, and we're like, what's going on? And we look up, and there's monkeys up there. There's actually wild monkeys. It's pretty cool. Except they, I think the people made them mad because the monkeys were actually throwing poop at them.
Oh, great.
It was great.
Did you get any pictures or videos of this?
I got pictures of the monkeys.
I mean, poop?
Not of the poop.
Flinging? Oh.
Every once in a while, you just hear it hit.
Like a splat.
Yeah, and it was just like, you look over there, oh yeah, there it is. Watch out for that.
The consistency.
It was soft but solid.
Okay, so
and
like,
so when it hit, they were.
Was it flat after it hit the concrete?
Yeah, because they were 60 feet up in the air, up in the tops of these trees, and just flinging them. And so it splattered pretty good when it hit.
Were they throwing at you?
No, not at me personally.
Did you get close enough?
Although a pile did fall within 10 feet of where I was standing.
Oh. Yeah, but they just like to throw it, like at random.
Yeah, they just throw. Well,
it's just kind of fun.
They throw it when they feel like annoyed or
if they're irritated.
Or feel threatened. Yeah.
Okay, so they don't necessarily throw it at a certain target.
Well, they were targeting the other people that were there.
Oh. Did they hit any of them?
No.
And then what happens? So they're irritated and they're flinging their poo. What happens when they run out of poo to fling? Do they just go away then?
There was enough of them that I think they could have kept up a continuous stream of poo for quite a while.
And the other thing, this is kind of gross, but I'm curious about it. Do they only fling their own poo, or do they pass it around?
I don't know. I didn't actually see them with poo in their hands. I just
you make it sound like it's raining down poo in there.
It was.
Like snowballs like, of poo like flying all over.
Okay, it's this monkey, and they're really small. They're small monkeys, like the size of a cat.
Okay.
Like maybe, a little bit bigger than a cat, but they're, and they're way up in this tree. You can barely see them through the leaves, and all of a sudden you just hear something. Oh. And then you know what it was.
When you said like raining down poo, I was imagining like a Belizean weatherman like say like in and this morning we're going to have like a slight 90% chance of monkey poo raining down on this spot in this lower region here. Watch out for those splats.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
So, the ruins was like, it was probably a mile and a half back in from the river. And usually there's a ferry that takes you across, and you can drive your vehicle across the ferry, except the river was too high. So we had to walk. And it was uphill most of the way.
Well, so you had to walk...
A good portion of the way was uphill.
But I'm still confused. So you walked across the river?
We ferried across the river. We could stand on the ferry and go across, but we couldn't drive a vehicle on because it was too high, and the ferry was too high up to drive a vehicle onto it.
Okay.
So yeah, then we walked up there. It was, I think, about a 20-25 minute hike, and it wasn't bad, but I'm just not used to hiking that much, so it was grueling for me. Anyways.
What were the ruins as exciting as you expected? Because this is something I've been looking forward to for a while.
Yeah. So, I would say they were. I wasn't quite sure what to expect.
Well, I've got a question for you. Is most of it outside, or is there a lot of internal stuff?
No, it's all outside. Well, there was a few internal things, but most of it was outside. Because of them being ruins, you know, most of them had fallen down enough that the inside structures that used to be inside were exposed to the elements.
Okay.
Exposed to the outside air. There were a few places on the back side of the tall one, the big tall pyramid-y thingy, and those have huge steps. Like, the steps are probably 18 inches tall.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're, it takes some effort to climb them. but then on the back side of that, there was like a passage where you went inside, and there's bats in there. And then you have to go up the rest of you.
Bats.
There was actually
live. Did you see some?
Yeah, there was actually bats.
Belizean
above
bats.
Above our heads.
Were they also flinging poo at you?
They were not.
I was just about to ask them that question. So weird.
but the view from the top was incredibly impressive. I mean,
you
could see.
You should post some pictures.
Yeah.
I took some panoramas that I need to splice together yet, but. But you could probably see for 30 miles. It was amazing.
Jeff, I think I don't want to criticize you, but maybe you take too many photos and then you don't get to post all your photos, because you just posted a fall photo of Indiana
from back then.
That was beautiful, but we're in the middle of a winter storm watch.
Yeah.
Here's
what happens.
Do you really?
I take the photos. Yeah. I love taking pictures, so I always take way more than I need, way more than I'll actually ever use, and then I'm too lazy to edit them in a timely manner.
I'm exactly where you are. I have hundreds of photos from Hawaii that would be great to post. That's something I should really like tout and just smear in people's faces. Same with Poland. I've taken many a good photo in Poland, but I just haven't got. I've actually edited quite a few of them. I actually have like a good 30 of them that are edited, and I love how they look. I have yet to just publish.
You have 30 ready.
You need to post it on Instagram.
Post one every couple days.
But
what? Or do you want them more to be in an album?
No, Instagram has changed their format anymore. It's just not the same. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jeff?
Kind of, yeah.
Instagram, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Instagram no longer posts photos or displays photos in a chronological order. It is now what they think is relevant to you.
No,
what?
Really?
Instagram, or has it changed back?
Instagram is chronological. Facebook is no longer chronological.
Facebook has not been chronological for a long time.
You're right about that. Right. Are you sure Instagram is?
I think Instagram is chronological.
I thought that I had heard that they no longer...
Oh, well, okay, it might not be chronological, but...
Either way, Layton, I'll still see your post.
Will you, though?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm following... Okay, we'll put it this way. I don't think it's necessarily chronological, but it does still show this content that you have not seen yet.
I'm just verifying this. This is breaking. It's not chronological, but every photo that I'm looking at right now has been posted within the last day.
Okay. Yeah.
And some of them were 22 minutes ago, and then one of them was 20 hours ago. But a lot of them have been posted within the last within the last 10 hours.
I used to time.
I can look back I'm doing the same thing. I'm looking through my Instagram feed, and I see all of the new pictures first. They might not be in chronological order, but they're still all ones that I haven't seen yet. Once I get to a photo that I've seen, all the ones past that I have already seen.
Okay. All right. But I used to time my Instagram posting perfectly. I used to always post around 5:30, 6 o'clock, somewhere in there, because that's when people are coming home from work and they've just settled down and they're checking their Instagram, and you just tend to get more engagement. And you might think that's ridiculous if you were a brand. Yeah,
let me get my Trump hands out here.
Yeah, go ahead and
I'm pinching fingers and talking to you.
Yeah, make a point.
If you'd have 50,000 followers, then it would make a big difference. You want to post it at the most opportune moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the people that are following you are your friends.
Are they, though?
They want to see what you post. And so more than likely, they'll filter through and see it at some point.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
Not today, but tomorrow morning then.
It's just...
I'm a very avid Instagrammer, and I usually catch up within a couple days of when it was posted.
At Hillcrest, it was so much fun to post photos because you had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Now I don't have enough time to do the things that I need to do.
Well, yeah.
I don't even have time for leisure.
You don't even have time to take care of your money.
Exactly.
Like, you're over...
Debit
cards are coming out of your ears.
It's actually true,
Debit cards out of ears, Batman.
If I don't stay on top of bills, it's so easy to forget one. It's insane. It's retarded. Ugh.
Yeah. Anyways. No, I get what you're saying, though. Like I still have photos from Italy that I would like to post that I just have never gotten around to actually going through that day of photos and picking out the ones I like the best.
Several years ago, I decided that photography
is not
something that I will ever become involved in.
Okay.
And I'm glad. Because seeing the stress that you've gone through,
I'm so stress free. It's insane.
Not only of taking,
you just forget the photo.
Not only of taking the photo, framing it, getting the right lighting or thing to look right, whether it's things in the frame or whatever, and then editing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what would annoy me the most, I think.
Oh, and editing then, is where your photo comes to life.
And then the debate in the about to post or not to post. Like, you're wrestling with this. You've been wrestling with it for close to a year.
No, this process
it was too much work. It was too much stress. So I've dropped it as well.
This process is easy for me. I absolutely love the thing.
You
realize
that you went from saying it's not stressful at all to it's too much stress, which is why you dropped it, though.
But I've been stress-free for so long, but I still enjoy taking pictures.
Yeah. The thing I love the most about photography, and I don't know why it's so satisfying, is just taking the pictures.
Yes.
I love pointing my camera at something and taking the picture and looking at it and saying, wow, that's pretty cool, and then moving on to the next thing. I took...
Really?
There's
some things I like looking at photos of, but not just anything.
Guess how many photos I took in Belize. I have posted
I'm guessing you probably took 800.
No, more than that.
2,000?
Yes.
I took 1,200 photos. Wow. Now, granted, probably...
It was still more than 800.
Probably 300 of those are from like massive panoramas that I just took a whole bunch of pictures to splice together eventually. That will never happen. But that's beside the point.
They were an aspiring panorama.
But as far as editing goes, I have Lightroom. mm-hmm. Adobe Lightroom, and I pay for the subscription, and I love using it, except using my phone is easier and quicker. And so more often than not, I'll actually just transfer the photo to my phone, edit it, and post it right away.
That very true. But if you're going to do a batch of photos, a laptop setting is just...
And there are certain things you can do on computer that you just never can with a phone,
right? Are you guys about done? Just talking about photos anyways, is boring me.
Is it? Good. Let's keep talking about this.
Speaking of panoramas... No, so anyways, after we were done with these Mayan ruins, we headed back to the mission, and the activity, the youth activity for Sunday evening was singing at a hospital.
Did you participate?
I did.
Do they sing in English, or do they sing in Spanish?
Actually, we sang in English, and we sang, no, we just sang in English, because all the staff, it was amazingly just the staff, and a few, actually, no, I think we did sing one Spanish song. No, we sang Spanish songs in church. The songbooks we had at the hospital were just English. But anyways, so we go to the government hospital.
Ooh.
In this region, there's two hospitals. There's a private one, and then there's a public one. We went to the public one, went into the ER, which consisted of basically nothing, and there was nobody there.
Well, at least there's no emergency.
Everyone's healthy.
We passed on through the ER into the main part of the hospital, which I think is a combined ICU. Whatever. This hospital is pretty small, but looking at it, I would have said, oh, there's probably 75 people in there, okay? And it's a...
You mean nurses, staff, hospital staff?
No, just like people in their care. It's a pretty small hospital, okay? We get in there. There are two people in the entire hospital, I think. I'm pretty sure.
And you came to sing for those two people.
And we came to sing for them, and it was two kids with their moms. Anyways, we sang for them. So obviously their hospital system is just way different because we walk right in, no like hand sanitizer or whatever, anything like that. We walked in the emergency room door straight into where they were.
Yeah, but there were no patients. And so
but there were.
But
two.
There were two. Like, you know.
But get this.
It's
so,
just two lives.
So, like, why, what is the most psycho thing that they would normally protect in a hospital? What do you think?
Where they have the babies?
The babies.
No. Like, well, yeah, that. But things just like assets that they would protect in a hospital.
Oh, like drugs? You mean?
Yeah. Drugs. Okay, and that's like super psycho. If you leave a medicine cabinet unlocked in the U.S., you could get fired. Well, here we walk in here, and there's this big medicine cabinet, and it's just wide open for the whole world.
And you guys immediately started raiding.
And
it.
We started.
They were probably just sugar, pill just popping. Sugar pills.
No, we found quite a bit of heroin.
A lot kidding. Of heroin. I don't know why you would need that much in one cabinet.
When they go singing in Belize, when they go singing at the hospital, do they always go to this hospital, or do they sometimes go to the other
they
one?
They alternate between the two.
So it just so happened. Is it typical where there's only a few people?
I guess. I mean, they didn't really say, man, this is out of the ordinary. There's nobody here. Like, it was just, I think it was how it is.
Yeah, Jeff.
My mic is starting to wander.
Well, you know what our listeners are wondering, Jeff? I'm pretty sure.
What are you going to get
with this belief? Okay.
No, that's not where I was going to go. That's not where I was going to go.
Okay.
I bet our listeners are wondering, Jeff has been given this gift of single thoughts. And he hasn't done a whole lot with it. So I bet our listeners are wondering, was there any potential in Central America that would permanently eliminate your single thoughts?
No.
In fact, I'll enhance them.
Enhance that thought.
The monkeys flinging poo at him made him feel extra alone. There was no one to shield from the flinging of the poo.
Yeah.
You seem to be avoiding the question. Is there anything?
No, that's not a thing.
Okay.
Anyways.
You said you went to visit your sister, but I thought maybe there's ulterior.
Sister in the Lord.
So then Sunday night after the singing, we played games and stuff at the girls' house. That was fun. We played spoons. And I got... So we played spoons with poison, you know, where if somebody talks to you, they're
with
out.
Heroin.
Yeah, with heroin. And I managed to get not one, not two, but three people out which was
What is poison-filled spoons?
So when you become
Jeff, I can barely hear you.
When you become,
what? Well, he's not speaking to the side of it.
Is this better?
That's better.
Okay, so when you get out in spoons, mm-hmm. then you become poison. And if anybody that's still in the game talks to you directly, they are automatically out of the game. And so, you try to annoy him and stuff, but I managed to get three people out, which well is done. Like, you know.
How many one, people were playing?
There was, when I left, there 30? Were still six people. Six people probably in. So it wasn't that many, so I got like half of them out.
Okay, wow. All right. Very well done, Jeff.
Anyhow.
Your sweet-talking skills.
Yeah. So the next morning, I slept in relatively. I got up about 8:30 and decided I needed some breakfast.
I'm just imagining some of the topics that Jeff used, like to get people to talk to him, like, hey, do you want to go on a Google tour? I'm a Google guy. And then they're like, why, sure, Jeff, hi, you're out. I'm going to take a picture of this. I'm going to leave you a bad review. Person's terrible at spoons.
Anyway, what was you had breakfast?
So I decided to go to market and then get some breakfast. Markets open every day of the week, but there's bigger markets on some days and smaller markets on some days. Monday is a small market day. So I went there. I got a pineapple, which was amazing. It was shaped really funny. It had like a, I think when it was growing, a vine wrapped around it because it like it was big at the bottom and then it got really skinny, probably, I don't know, an inch and a half, and no, an inch in diameter, and then it got big again. It looked like a snowman, kind of.
Did you take a picture of it?
I didn't.
See, that'd be something I would take a picture of, Jeff.
Yeah.
Maybe I...
But at that point, I didn't have my camera with because I didn't want to lug it around market all day.
Okay. I was going to say, maybe I just don't know what is a good...
photo. Subject
for a photo.
Subject for photos, Batman. And anyway, and then I went and got breakfast, and it was the most American. See, that town is kind of touristy. It was the most American breakfast ever.
Ugh.
French toast and eggs. And that's not a Belizean thing at all.
French toast is definitely American.
So then on the way back, some of you saw...
Google Guide certified. Exactly. You heard it here first.
did you see that picture I posted on Instagram of the river with the letters in the background, the colorful letters in the background, and the tree?
I don't look at Instagrams.
So. I labored. That was a painfully achieved photo, because I went down to the river and took that photo
with the letters in the water. This photo here.
Yeah, it's like reflected in the water or whatever.
You not look at the reflection?
Oh, I see it now.
So, you need to tag those letters.
I should.
So people notice them.
So anyways, so I was like kind of traipsing around looking for good angles of this. And then I was like, you know what? The other side of the road would be way better angle. And so I'm biking at this point. So I bike over there to the other side of the road. And all of a sudden, the river had flooded recently, okay? And it was down. It was going down by the day or whatever, and all of a sudden my tires started sinking into mud. I was wearing flip-flops, and I managed to allow myself, I didn't fall into the mud, but I did wade through it, and it was a good 4 to 5 inches deep. And so my feet were covered in mud. There was mud in between my foot and the sandal, so it was kind of like
gritty.
It was slipping around. It was really slippery.
No.
And then I had to walk uphill after that.
Both ways.
No, but the way to get out of there, you had to walk uphill, and it was too steep to bike up of it. So I had to walk up it.
And slippery sandals. You probably almost fell.
And there was people watching, too, and so, yeah.
And they were laughing.
I would rather face monkey poo than do that.
Yeah, it was not that fun of an experience.
But you got the perfect photo,
right? But I did get a good photo.
Hey, at least you got paid for the photo.
Oh,
did I get paid for the photo?
Oh, maybe not.
No. I wish.
He has bragging rights, Ruben. You can't put a price on that.
It is a nice photo.
So,
see?
Then I went back and hung out at the school for the rest of the day, and then we went swimming after there at this little falls called Monkey Falls, way back in the boonies. We drove outside of the city or out of the town for it wasn't that bad. It was probably 15 minutes. But then at a certain point, the road got so bad that we couldn't drive on it anymore because it had been washed out, and the grooves from the water running down the road, it was downhill, and the grooves were 8 inches deep, running lengthwise with the road. So it was a little bit like, if you get in there, you can't get back out.
Mm-hmm.
So then we walked the rest of the way. That was pretty cool.
Sounds like fun, Jeff.
Anyways, that was pretty much it.
What?
It sounds like so much fun.
So I had to leave then the next day, left at 9 in the morning, their time, which is 10 our time, and got back at 1 a.m.
Oh, my.
So the trip home was mostly uneventful. I say mostly.
I'm pretty sure that you were just sick of events.
Yeah.
You were just like, I bet you were hoping for the most monotonous ride.
It was like, ever. I just wanted to get home and get to sleep because I knew I had to go to work the next morning.
Yeah, you did. We needed you to draw some stuff at the stairs.
Anyways, I left my jacket in my car intentionally when I left because I knew I wouldn't need it in Belize. And it would be like, why am I carrying this jacket around everywhere? I'm already tight with luggage space because I was taking so much stuff down. And so I'm just terrified when I get back. It's going to be like 0 degrees. And I had to walk almost, I'd say, a third of a mile to my car from where the train from the airport dropped me off, all the way in the corner of the parking lot. So I get there, and lo and behold, it's a blessed 52 degrees. And I walked out to my car in relative comfort.
That's the thing about northern Indiana. You never know. It could be zero, or it could be 40, 45 degrees.
So then the other event...
Lake effect.
The eventful thing that happened that day...
That has more to do with the snow than the temperature.
I think the lakes affect the temperature.
Well, they do.
Somewhat.
But they wouldn't change that much. I mean, but...
Right, yeah, it mostly changes because of warm and cold.
It would be a little more moderate, maybe.
Right, it like it but makes not, it it but, stabilizes somewhat.
Well, that's not stable. From this 0 to 50 is not stable.
Well, but like whatever extreme is coming, it's always either really disappointing or like way beyond
way
what
over
it was
the
predicted.
Top. Yeah,
and you're talking more about snowfall.
So it either the lake effect either enhances
snowfall,
the extremes. Or
but it, doesn't,
it like cushions the blow so much that it's just like, well, the meteorologist is an idiot.
Well, they're an idiot either way.
He's talking about flinging poo, and here we're actually just getting snow. Ugh.
Yeah. So here's what happened on the way home.
There is more.
Yes, there
Good
is
grief,
more.
Jeff.
There were so many events.
We should have broken this up into three episodes.
The trifecta.
This is the last thing, I promise. There was a strangely high... amount of traffic in Chicago. Okay, it was like,
and you got in
10 o'clock at night.
Okay,
in Chicago time, 10 o'clock at night. Okay, weird amount of traffic. There was a ton of traffic, so I was like battling traffic.
What day of the week is this?
This was on a Tuesday night.
Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
yeah. You would think that traffic.
And
would
it wasn't. It wasn't like. I mean, there was like semis and whatever. It wasn't just commuters. It was business. And it lasted about till I got to Indiana, and then it started to taper down. So, and then I went since there's road construction on State Road 2, I didn't want to go up through South Bend because it would take longer, so I went down US 6. US 6 is, there is nobody there, okay? So I'm moving along on my merry way, may or may not have been going above the speed limit. But be that as it may, I'm just like, I'm cruising along here, minding my own business. There's no other vehicles on the road. And all of a sudden, I see something like flash out behind me. And I was like, what in the world? Is there a cop? Is he going to stop me or something? And I look back, nothing.
Nothing.
There's nothing. It was completely black.
So did you think that your mind was playing games with you?
Something. I don't know. Or maybe a reflection from
glare.
Yeah, a glare from some light.
A glimmer.
So I kept on going. All of a sudden, I saw flash again, and I looked back, and there's sparks flying out of the back of my car. And I was like, oh, what in the world? Did something happen? Did one of my brakes lock up or something?
A monkey.
And then, before I could even think about what to do to try to diagnose the issue, a flaming chunk of something flies out of under the back of my car.
Burning, flinging
sits,
poo.
And it rolls around a little bit and just sits in the middle of the road, flaming away.
No way. Yes. Jeff, this sounds unbelievable.
So I like quick slam on the brakes, pull over to the side of the road. I'm like, shoot, my car's on fire. Everything's going to burn, and I'm going to be stranded in the middle of Indiana, in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of the night.
With no vehicle. In the middle of the night with no
but
vehicle.
But at least you're a local Google guy, and you must know some good places to go to.
Yep. Yeah. It was literally in the middle of nowhere. And so I like get out and like look under my car, and there's nothing. It's completely fine. No smoke, no smell, no light. It's pretty dark outside, so you would have been able to see some embers or something.
Hmm.
And so I was like, what in the world? So I turned around. I got back in my car, turned around, went back to the flaming thing.
Can I guess what it was?
Guess what it was.
An Intera debit card.
I wish.
Oh.
It was a chunk of cardboard that apparently had at some point or other gotten sucked up under my car and nestled itself in such a position that it was against the muffler or the exhaust and started a fire and just Jeff, rolled out the back.
I'm not kidding. But halfway through this, I thought this was going to be a joke. I did not think this was real.
No, this actually happened to me, and it was just the weirdest thing ever.
One question I had, when you were in the Mayan ruins,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know if how clear history is about what all happened there, but there could have been human sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I mean, they definitely, thousands of years ago, there was human sacrifice. Did you get any kind of like eerie feeling being there?
Yeah, a little bit, I would say, because you know that this was like, yeah, knowing going into it, I was like, man, this is kind of creepy, you know, this kind of stuff did happen here. But then the more I mean, and there was nobody around, it was really quiet. But the more I was there, I also realized that this was not just for sacrifice and stuff, this was like a meeting place for them. And actually, so the courtyard next to, so there was about three main towers, okay, and the one was really tall, and then the other one was like in the middle. They were all in a line. The other one in the middle was about a third as high, okay, and it was just kind of like a mound of rocks with grass on top of it. And then the next one over was more of an open, like a meeting place type of thing. But when you stood on the tall one and talked, people all the way across the other side of the courtyard, and it was probably 300 feet, could hear you very clearly. So it was like a place where they met and talked and whatever. I mean, it was well designed as a meeting place for people.
Hmm.
So it was pretty cool in that aspect. But yeah.
Well, Jeff, you have met your quota for content.
Oh my
yeah.
stars.
After being gone for a few weeks, missing a few episodes, I feel you're back in my good graces, at least, Layton. Mm-hmm.
You're good. You're a Google guide.
Wow, this is maybe the longest episode we've ever recorded.
What are we at?
It's hard to tell because...
Oh, we had the behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes we recorded first, but we're at close to an hour and a half.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Now, I do want to get to a few more things.
Are we actually going to... Should we just save those?
No, I teased it. Layton, I can't promise something and not come through.
Yes, you can. I do that every day.
We've done that all the time.
What are you saying?
Listeners, you can verify this, that we have done this to you
Fine,
before.
I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I'm trying to, if we say at the beginning, this is what we're going
to
discuss.
No, if you want to, yes, sure.
Sure,
okay,
let's go ahead.
First off, levels of love.
Levels.
Levels of love. Ruben, explain this to us.
This is for your benefit. If you're...
Whose benefit?
I'm telling you. Oh, you okay. Who are either in a relationship or maybe about to get into a relationship, so you can kind of see where you're at with the level of your relationship with your significant other.
Okay.
So is this like primarily objective in that you're like referencing other people's feedback from these things?
No, this is a progression, and these are all related to technology in a sense. Okay. They're all specific to yes.
Well, then,
so Ruben, you just want to brag about the progression of your relationship.
Well, I mean, sure, that is probably part of it, and maybe I'm looking for some feedback too from you. Like, did you agree?
Okay, But I didn't realize that these were all technologically related. You know, if I would have known that, I would have said like, we need to rename this like tech levels of love or tech levelgies or combine the words love and technology and or something like that.
Love at first tech. There we go. What is the purpose of this, Ruben? Are you trying to like gauge your relationship?
I'm not sure what the purpose of it is, but I just found it interesting.
Yeah, okay.
More or less, I just found it interesting as I would think, oh, these are some things, and I'll just read you one of the first ones. Once you are in a relationship with someone that you have feelings for, and if once you turn on read receipts for your text messages, I feel like that is a little but positive step that things are getting, you know,
kind of serious.
They're getting more serious.
Okay.
You're willing to share when you have read her text message and vice versa. And this is the great thing. A lot of these can be reciprocated. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Number two.
Ladies,
sharing.
Like, this is not even a thing.
It is a thing. Read receipts. It's gutsy. It takes confidence.
Sharing your location with either find friends, or you can do it with Google Maps as well if you're an Android.
But why would you fall in love?
What level of love is that at?
Google Ruben? Guy.
Well, this is step number two.
This is step two.
Yeah.
This is level two.
Ruben, I'm at step number two with you.
My, how the turntables. So you could say things are getting kind of serious.
Well, I guess they don't always have to be romantic. Number three.
And at this level, you get a free terabyte of cloud storage with your partner. Yeah.
And these are pretty much, as best I can remember, this is the progression of things that happened with Carmen and I.
Okay.
And we have talked about this list before. We just kind of thought it was interesting to talk about. Number three, changing your phone background to a picture of your SO.
That comes after those other two things.
Well, and maybe it's different for you. Maybe it's different for Layton. Maybe it's different for the listeners. And we can talk about that.
I mean,
do you feel like
that.
This is a first date kind of thing where you snap a pic and change your background?
Oh, definitely not for me. But
I could see myself doing that before the other things.
Things are about to get much more serious. So,
oh my!
But go ahead, Layton.
I'll save my thoughts till the end.
Okay.
But I do have some good feedback on this.
But who am I to say?
Number four.
I'm single.
Adding an emoji and removing the last name in the contact.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Not removing the entire name. And again, this is different for different people. But for me, I always have a first name and a last name.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have me as Layton Yoder?
Yes.
It's gross.
But for you, Layton, you're actually very special. You're the only person that has a nickname in my entire contact list. Mm.
I think that's not actually because we're that good of friends, which I think we are that good of friends. But I don't think it's because you kept on sending it to the wrong Layton.
You're right. When I would use Siri and say, hey, send a text to Layton Yoder, I'll be over to podcast in 10 minutes.
And then Big Layton says, I don't care what you do on your Tuesday night.
But don't come over here.
I think it's weird. Okay? I don't have this arrangement with you. I'm a father now.
For those of you who didn't get the reference.
He just did have a baby.
I know.
Big okay. Layton is, so in high school, there was two Laytons. There was our Layton and then Big Layton. Because Layton is small of stature and Big Layton is larger of stature. And anyways, so that's why we call him Big Layton.
I feel like if I would have started this podcast when I was much, much younger, while I was still in school, my nickname could have, rather than Little Layton or Ladybug, could have been French Press Layton.
French Bug.
Yeah, you know.
Layton. It's like Guitar Jeff. Everybody knows who Guitar Jeff is.
Oh, that's true.
I call you Jeffy if I'm trying to reference.
Sure.
Do you have him Jeffy as Jeffy in your phone?
I have him as Jeffy Miller.
Oh, there is really? Another nicknamer.
No, that's not a nickname. That's just your name.
That's just my name. Oh,
no, yeah. That's a nickname.
Well, in my contact list, it's just his
no,
name.
No, okay. I'm with Ruben on this, though. I'm like super psycho about...
Wait, there's like, there's a nickname blank?
Yes.
In the... I did not know that.
I don't have a contact for Mom. I have a contact for Becky Miller. My level of nerdiness and OCD does not permit me to use.
I'm sometimes tempted titles. To delete contacts in my phone book if there's not a last name by it, and I'm not sure what their last name is. I'm tempted to just delete their entire contact.
I have question mark last names on a few.
Do you know how many Austins I know? It's ridiculous.
There's a lot of, yeah.
And Kyles.
I have quite a few Joshes.
We're getting off the subject.
Anyhow.
I'm going to bring
so
it back.
So many Joshes.
We just did number three. All right, number... Okay, we just did number four. Yeah,
so
removing the last name and adding an emoji...
Is the fourth level of love.
Is the fourth
and
level.
And for Ruben, I can vouch for Ruben that this is a pretty big step.
It is.
you know what?
I'll even open myself even more up. I didn't even actually... Carmen actually removed her last name in the contact list to make it more personable.
What do you mean?
Well, it said we were together this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And she saw that her contact said Carmen Miller.
Oh, so she removed it for you.
Yeah.
So it wasn't actually even an act of love on your part.
It wasn't something that had crossed my mind, but now that I see it in hindsight...
It's something you wish you would have done.
Yeah.
Long, long ago.
Yeah. And so I said, this is pretty much the different steps or rungs or levels.
The ladder of love that you have climbed.
But it's not exactly the way it went for me, but it's very close.
Okay.
All right. Number five, sharing your iPhone, whatever, sharing your phone passcode.
Ooh.
That's a big one.
So how do you, like... Did you, like, peel off a strip of skin from your thumb?
Did you add her on Face ID?
Gave it to her.
Okay, those are two very valid questions. Back when I had an older iPhone that had Touch ID, I didn't add a fingerprint. That's actually level six. So telling her that what the passcode is five. The fingerprint is number six.
Adding her fingerprint.
Yeah, however, phone. Jeff, you asked about Face ID.
Mm-hmm.
You can't add multiple faces.
You can't.
No.
That's retarded.
It is ridiculous. Kind of it is ridiculous. You should be able
don't
to.
Don't worry. It'll be in the next update. Don't you worry.
Because you can add up to 10 fingers. At
ten
least.
Fingers.
But how many faces do you have, Ruben? How many different angles? Well, this is my good side and my bad side. So you need at least two sides.
So number six is adding fingerprint if you have that on your phone.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then...
Tech tip related to that. If you have trouble with your phone reading your fingerprint... Add that same finger twice.
Or 10 times.
Or 10 times. And then number seven, and this is a level that I have not reached yet, but changing your computer desktop background to a picture of your SO. I feel like that, I mean, that's another level. And I think it's important you take these things one step at a time. You don't want to rush into anything. You want it to be slow and thoughtful.
Could I add to that list?
You can.
Or, like, I guess this isn't exactly, like, technology. It is slightly technology-related.
Okay.
But where do you think the fitting in of changing your relationship status on Facebook? Where does that...
Oh, that is great.
That is a really good one.
That is great.
Because that is actually kind of a deal.
It is a big deal.
Like, and me and Carrie had to discuss that some.
Yeah.
We started dating.
It has been discussed between us. And neither one of us really
cares.
All of our friends know that we're dating.
Okay.
All of our family knows that we're dating. The relationship status on Facebook is just telling the world that you're dating and letting people know that you're acquaintances with, that you're in a relationship, right?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing is that
is it any of their business?
For one thing, it isn't any of their business. And so often you see it done so quickly that it kind of, I don't know if it scares me, but maybe I just don't like it. I don't know if we'll do it. We might not even change it.
It's okay.
Hey, Ruben, where does talking about it on the podcast come in?
Well, we did it. I did it pretty quickly.
You did it pretty quickly.
And that was kind of scary, wasn't it?
It was a little bit.
I saw you sweating and kind of like
I wasn't sweating.
Acting like a little bit nervous. Wait,
how long were you dating before it was mentioned? It wasn't that long either.
It wasn't. Maybe 3-4 weeks.
Oh,
I think it was.
No, it was not that long.
Oh, are you serious?
No, I think it was.
Man, that was gutsy on my part.
Another task for you listeners. Go back and find that and tell us.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll
do that. I'm guessing it was probably 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. You're probably right. But I did not announce it until after my first date. I do know that.
Yeah.
And I asked her out 2 weeks before we actually had our first date.
Okay. Well, yeah, in that then.
Or maybe it was like a week and a half. But I couldn't go down right away
because
my work schedule is so.
Demanding.
So crazy. I think it was maybe the week after you came back or something that it was mentioned.
Probably.
When you talked about your trip or something like that. Anyways.
But yeah, but back to the Facebook status.
Yeah.
Some people probably do it after their first date. They change their status. And we just didn't want to do that.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine.
What do you think? Do you think it should be more the Facebook status thing almost feels like it feels like a huge deal.
It's the reason it's a huge deal is because you're letting a lot of people know.
You're letting more than just your friends know.
Exactly.
Friends and family. Like I said, your acquaintances know.
Exactly. And you and Carmen are doing great. You guys are obviously still dating. But if something were to happen that somehow it wouldn't work out, then suddenly you have to have this awkward thing where you have to let those same those acquaintances know that you went through a breakup, and once again, none of their business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't get notified. They'll just notice it if they go into your profile and see that. Usually what happens, from what I've gathered from looking,
investigated some breakups, some Facebook breakups?
It just ends up being, the status ends up being hidden. Versus it stating, single again.
So if it's hidden, it's like, oh, sorry, dude. I checked your Facebook status. I noticed it's hidden. Have you considered, like, maybe going down to Belize, getting some pooflung?
Pooflung. Anyway.
Sounds like a Chinese food.
Don't take this levels of love too seriously. This was done in jest.
Ha.
Really
hard.
All right, that's all I had.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a tech tip, but I'm willing to save it.
One thing that happened to me yesterday, and this was like the highlight of my day.
Does everything need to be about you, Jeff?
Yeah, it does. So I was cleaning out my room, okay, and this was a long-needed thing, okay? My room is, it's not like super messy, but I generally keep it pretty unkept as a general rule. Anyways. And so my desk over the years, I don't know, not years, but over the past while has been accumulating just random stuff, papers and books and cords and whatever. It was piled pretty full. And so I decided to go through it. And my nightstand was the same way as well. And so as I'm cleaning this thing, so let me back up a little bit. I am a person who hates carrying cash because I hate feeling a big bulging wallet in my pocket. It just annoys me to have something big there and makes you constantly aware of it and all that kind of stuff. So when I have a lot of cash in my wallet, I just take it out, you know, most of it, and maybe leave a couple of big bills in there or something. Anyways, and then I like lay them around.
Of course, yeah. You just,
so as I'm sifting through all my random bill stuff on my desk and throwing away the things that need to be trashed and organizing the things that are to keep, I keep finding money.
You're mining in your own bedroom.
I'm mining in my own bedroom. Guess how much money I found in my room.
Okay.
Of random bills just laying around.
Okay, he says he doesn't like cash. So I don't think there's a lot of $100 bills. I'm guessing it's more fives, ones, and a couple tens.
Maybe tens.
So I'm guessing. So This has been over the course of years, he said.
I know, over the course of the past 6 months, probably.
Okay.
Probably.
I'm going to guess.
Hang on, don't say it, because I'm thinking as well.
Okay, I have a number in my head.
He made it sound so big, because logically, I would have said probably $35, but the way you made it sound, I'm going to say $73 is my guess.
I'm going to guess $275.
Oh, my goodness.
$275.
Yeah.
No, not that high.
Oh, sorry.
But I did find $130.
Wow. Oh,
did Jeff? And how many 20 or large 20s or larger bills?
There were 3 20s.
And everything else was smaller?
And everything else was smaller. I think I had 1 10, and then the rest was all 5s and 1s. I have a large pile of 1s. I think it's
where do you put them 45 ones. that you don't see it.
Well, see, I would take them out and throw them down, and my wallet.
Hold on. You say take it out and throw it down on the floor?
No, on my nightstand.
I'm done with the 20.
Okay, on my nightstand or whatever. And my wallet requires that I fold my bills before I put them in. So they're already folded up, so they're already kind of small. And then I get this letter in the mail saying I need to do this, or I empty out my mailbox at church and just toss it on my desk. Okay, and then that gets buried. And underneath, there's probably 7 or 8 layers in each location, and then there's multiple locations of many layers, and so just through that all, I found that, and I think I found some in my drawer too, where I had somebody had been coming, and I was like, I don't want money laying around, and so I'll just shove it in the drawer. So, anyways, that was my treasure of the week.
All right, this has been the longest episode of the French Press Podcast ever.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
What are we at?
With the pre-recording, we are at 1 hour and 46 minutes.
Good.
Wow. Now, Layton, you had wanted to comment on this this book I have with me. And I promise this will be the last thing, and then we'll be out of your ear.
Okay.
I don't.
So I noticed that you have a book of sorts, and it looks like something of like sentimental worth.
It looks valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's not. It's just paper that's covering it that makes it look older in style.
Okay.
But it was given to me. It's a journal. It was given to me in 2015 or maybe the Christmas of 2014. But it was a Christmas gift from my sister.
Very nice.
And it's nice. I do like it.
I've
written in it off and on. The first few pages were from July.
You're using it as a journal?
I'm using it as a journal and a place to jot down thoughts and
ideas.
Yeah. For example, this is where I jotted down the different levels of love.
Wow, what a good idea.
Way to jot stuff, Ruben.
Oh, good jotter.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's it. I was just curious about this book.
Layton, what is the point? Get to the point.
Jeff, are you usurping my...
I am.
He thinks he's so full of content that he can just barge in here and start being the intro man for the different segments. Can you believe this? This is the guts of a Google guide.
That's right.
Seriously, though, get to the point.
Okay, so the point is, and I stopped jotting down points like 3/4 of the way through, so I...
Well, number one, the longest episode of the French Press Podcast.
Yeah, I guess that is the first point. Longest episode ever. Point number two, and this happened way back. I don't even know if you can remember this, but McDonald's throws chicken fingers. Number three, debit cards are mysterious. Number four, Jeff's photography is viral. Number five, monkeys fling poo as accurately as McDonald's employees. Number six, Ruben can do Trump hands. Number seven, Belizean hospitals have cabinets full of heroin. Number eight, Jeff poisons people with spoons. Number nine, this podcast is the last event that will happen to Jeff. He promises. And I guess if we have not, we need to do 10. And I guess Oh my. Does any of you have a 10?
Ruben keeps a journal. I don't know.
It's not really true. Okay. Very sporadically. But Jeff's car sometimes flings fire.
Jeff's car flings fire. Thank you, Ruben.
Is that number 9?
That's number 10.
That was number 10.
That
okay.
was the 10th.
Okay.
I think we're going to start with 10.
Oh, my goodness. I feel kind of proud of us for going on this long.
For lasting this long.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yes, it is.
And what word can we leave with our listeners, Layton?
Heroin.
Testing audio, buckle my shoe.
Buckle my shoe?
Ruben, do you have buckles on your shoe? Are you a pilgrim?
Oh, ye Ruben. Pilgrims of
Jeff, you sound
faiths.
You sound pretty good. Layton, give me one more test.
I'm going to give you a test of my abilities to speak right into the microphone.
I like where we're at.
I do, too.
Operating the table, Jeff, you know what? You're right. And I think at some point we should consider maybe having a better studio setup.
What do you mean? This is the best.
This is a pretty decent room, decent space.
I don't like where the mixer is.
Oh, you're saying that in that
I'm aspect. Saying the table and the way we're positioned. I would rather we'd be equally apart from each other.
Like a round table.
Yeah.
But Ruben,
or even a square table.
These things wouldn't work in this room.
You realize there's a square wooden table sitting right outside.
That would take care
for
of
for years, like probably even before we started podcasting.
Could we get it? We'd have to get it in here. We'd probably have to move that dresser.
Let's go look at it.
Should no, we? not right now.
Ruben's like, we need to change this setup, but we don't want to do it too quickly.
It just gets dragged out. I've got to talk to Carmen.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The locations are good. The guest is good. But I do agree the mixer could go. But if the mixer would go down there, and then you would scooch this way just slightly, and then you could still adjust the mixer and have your laptop and a nice table that was actually cleaned off would seem professional.
It's important to have the what are those? It's important to have the
those have been there for over over 2 years probably.
How to survive little multiple choice cards. Things? We were gonna this was gonna be a segment.
It was.
It used to
it
be
did,
a segment.
It did for a little bit.
It was.
Anyway, I want you guys to help me craft this bit. I'm talking about different things that we can use or different things that Carmen and I have done that kind of proves or shows where we're at in our relationship.
Mm. Okay.
So things like sharing location, turning on read receipts, things like that.
Oh, my.
But I'm not sure what the best...
Turning on read receipts?
But I'm not sure what the best way is to frame it into a segment that's entertaining.
I think you could call your segment Levels of Love.
Okay.
And it's important, I think, do you have all the different...
I have a list, yeah.
Okay, good.
And some that we haven't even reached yet.
Okay, so like relationship goals, or levels, relationship level goals.
No, love, you said love levels.
Yeah. Love goals.
No, I think it needs to have a cadence to it.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Not cadence, but...
A cadence.
A little alliteration.
A cadence.
Yes, in other news, Coinbase paused all purchases and sales of Ethereum and Litecoin because of the extreme volume that they were getting of investments.
That's crazy. Did you invest, Jeff?
I did. Ahead of the curve.
Oh, good job.
I was trying to invest. I was trying to invest in Litecoin. Those two currencies over the weekend before one of them went and doubled. But don't worry. I wasn't going to put a lot in.
Oh, good. That reassures me.
Okay.
Just to make you guys aware, my farts smell really bad.
Well, keep them penned up.
So glad.
And they're the kind that don't like to be penned up.
We've got Jeff's part two of his story. Jeff, I feel like you should tell us more about how you became a Google guide. I feel like that'd be interesting.
What are the credentials of a Google guide?
Ruben, you're one, aren't you?
Did you already list my story?
Did you sign up for it, Ruben?
Yeah, I'm also Google Guide.
My story of odd coincidence.
I just didn't mention it. I just don't use it as, it's not a, it's not a title, Jeff, that I.
Yeah, but I'm a level 6.
Layton story.
Yeah, I got something for
you. I'm a level 6 magician.
How do we know if these opening rambles are even interesting to people?
They keep listening.
No, I'm saying if we would use this part.
Oh, we would call it like behind the scenes. It's kind of like what Beck does. Like he always has, well, he has multiple segments. He divvies out his segments into bits. You know what I mean? Or like his episodes into bits. And so you have like
the Beck Blitz.
The Beck Blitz and like the different little segments. We could call this like a different episode. We could call this behind the scenes or BTH.
Do you know how much work that is to create a separate episode?
Is it a lot?
I mean, it's a little bit.
No, you wouldn't have to produce anything.
Yeah, I'd have to
export it, but don't put like an intro or an outro or anything.
That's the easy part. The hard part is I have to upload it and then create a separate post in WordPress because that's how what episodes are. It's easiest just to have it at the beginning and then they can just skip through it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm fine with that.
Because would it make sense to have it at the end?
Sure.
Not really.
No. Okay, how about this? How about at the very, very, like, okay, so we record this, and then we record the podcast episode. You put those two together, but then at the...
Before the intro music. That's what I have done. When we have recorded these, I've just let the intro music... I've done this before the intro music even plays.
Yes.
That way they know, oh...
Yeah.
Once they clip forward
but
and
flip even,
through.
But then after everything is recorded, both segments are recorded, then you look at the time that they would have to skip to.
Okay.
In order for them to skip the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Which and they then, probably wouldn't do.
They probably won't, but still. And then the very first thing they hear is you would like introduce it as like, and now here is a little behind the scenes if you want to listen. If you want to skip this, then skip to minute 25.
We won't have that long.
11.
Intro.
Well, whatever. And then they'd be like, oh, okay. And then they could skip to the actual episode.
I think people would enjoy the additional
content. But the nice thing is, though, we could just shorten the overall episode then. Or like...
Alternatively.
The actual recorded episode.
Alternatively, you could put it after. Like after everything goes dark and
that's
then
true.
Then it's more like a movie is
like
set
a
up.
Prequel.
We're gonna do that, and let's just wait for feedback to what people say.
We're just gonna put it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm fine.
I'm
with
not
that.
Even gonna ask for more feedback than right now, because if you know what I mean, I'm not gonna say something at the end of
the next episode.
The normal.
Oh, part. Okay. All right.
But are you guys ready?
I mean, have we figured out your levels of love?
Well, yeah, I've got different things.
Okay, but now you need to rank them.
Well, I do need to rank them?
In the different levels of love.
Holy
okay.
Can you handle that, or do you need... What kind of book do you have? Is that like a little journal?
It is, yeah. It was given to me as a gift. I don't know why you're so shocked.
Is it from Carmen?
No, it's from my sister. It was a Christmas gift a few years ago, all the way back in 2015.
I am shocked. I thought you had given... You know what? We'll save this for the podcast.
Okay.
Levels of love.
Got killed. The words got killed is improper grammar.
What about got fired?
Got fired. I got a book the other day.
Yes.
But I didn't got run over.
Got ran over.
I could,
Grandma.
I could get run over.
Got ran over.
It's just. By a it's reindeer. Just like. It's just like.
There's a song.
Yeah.
About it. Now, granted, I'm not saying that every song is proof. If it's used in a song.
Proper grammar would be was.
Grandma was run over by a reindeer. Was ran over. Was run over.
Was killed is way better than got killed. I feel like. God is being used improperly.
You're probably right. It should be, I instead of I got fired, I was fired.
Yeah. Got is, no, yeah, it's two verbs.
Yeah, but there's a you got, they're using got as a helping verb.
I know, and it's not.
You're
it's,
right.
It's an actual verb.
You got to get a different helping verb.
You have got to get a different, yeah. But to get is, part is.
All right, I'm ready if you guys are.
I guess.
So you've got something else, Layton.
I do?
Yeah, when you were talking about my journal.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
You got something?
A new segment.
You got a new segment.